in the history of God's people, the wonderful days of our Lord's ministry on earth, regarding one of the disciples, Peter. Matthew chapter 18, verse 21. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times." Jesus answered, "I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times, or seven times, 70 times seven times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. 'Be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I will pay back everything.' The servant's master took pity on him, cancelled the debt, and let him go. But then the servant went out, and he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And he grabbed him, and he began to choke him. 'Pay back what you owe me,' he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, 'Be patient with me, and I'll pay you back.' But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. 'You wicked servant,' he said, 'I cancelled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?' In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your hearts." There's a little chorus on the sheet. I'm not going to sing it to you. I just want to pray it or read it as a prayer, because that's a difficult passage, isn't it? There's a lot going on there. The life of Peter and the life of Solomon. I want to merge them together for a short time this morning in our thinking. And so we're going to need God's help by his Spirit to do so. So let me just say these words as a prayer. Spirit of God, show us Jesus. Remove the darkness, let truth shine through. Spirit of God, show us Jesus. Reveal the fullness of his love to me and to you. It's been 6 months, and in that 6 months, those who've been part of the WhatsApp group, we've tried to keep each other sort of buoyant by a daily quiz. And I've learned quite a bit about people over the last 6 months through this quiz, how competitive some are, how some have specialist subjects that they seem to excel in. I wonder if you were in the mastermind chair, what your chosen subject would be. We read of Solomon, and here regarding Peter. We have much about Solomon and Peter in the scripture. Perhaps you could answer lots of questions about them. They were very different people, weren't they? And you found, don't you, that the world is made up of very different people. Both, of course, were Jews, leaders of God's people in their day, but their backgrounds and their times were so different. Solomon was king with that incredible role, with that power and position. Peter, a fisherman, so nowhere near in status and background, but of course he went to lead and be a major leader in the early church. Solomon was given wisdom. And though he didn't ask for wealth, wealth did follow on. The Lord blessed him with so much. Yet in contrast, there's Peter, who says he would give up everything to follow Jesus. Even his own life, if that was called for. And indeed, in the end, it was. Well, what brings these two men together this morning? Solomon in the Old Testament, Peter in the New. Well, both are linked, of course, in their writings within the Word of God. Our church at home today looks at a proverb that Solomon was inspired by God to write. A man's wisdom gives him patience. It is to his glory to overlook an offence. Another proverb that Solomon wrote is in Proverbs 10 and verse 12, and is actually quoted by Peter when he writes his letter, or one of his letters to the churches. And within it he talks about how love covers a multitude of sins. I want us to think about wisdom. I want to think about mercy. We need mercy in these difficult days, but we also need to be guided and led with the wisdom of God. And I want to start, first of all, with Peter. I'm going to start with a positive, the lesson that Peter learned. Now, in the passage I just read to you, he comes to Jesus exasperated about how many times he's got to forgive his brother. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm intrigued to know what the offence was and who was committing the crime against him. We're not told. We don't need to know. But something was getting under his skin. Something was bugging him. Something was again and again impacting his thinking and his life. How much is enough? When is it enough? When do you draw the line? And Jesus' answer to it is a very generous, gracious, liberal parable. It's a wonderful parable. A parable of our Lord about when we are forgiven, we must forgive. And when we realize the extent to which we have been forgiven, God's mercy towards us, how great is that mercy? Then we ought to show mercy to others. And you can say a lot about Peter, you know, getting it wrong, rushing in without thinking and all the rest of it. But actually, he learned his lesson well. He learned the extent of God's mercy as he was restored as a follower of Jesus. You remember how he was forgiven for his failure in denying his Lord. How at that time when Jesus was preparing to go to make forgiveness possible at the cross, you know, Peter denies him and flees away, runs for his life, leaving his friend who he said he would die for there to hang on the cross. But he learned after the resurrection, through that meeting again with Jesus and being restored by him, he learned that love indeed does cover a multitude of sins. It covered a multitude of his sins. He became very aware of that. And in this teaching that Jesus gave, this parable, the final line, the punchline, the line to underline and note, Jesus concluded with the challenge to forgive your brother from the heart. To go beyond where you would normally be, even what you understand, from your heart in totality. In his letter, in Peter's letter to the early church, Peter writes, "Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins." So here is Peter, faltering and failing, staggering around at the beginning, becoming the rock, becoming the leader in the church and speaking such a word to the church and to you and to me this morning to love each other deeply. Let love cover a multitude of sins. As we have received mercy from God, let us be merciful to one another. The heart must be engaged in the lesson. It isn't enough just to know, but to know and to live it out. Being merciful because we have known the need for mercy and received the blessing of it. So Peter learned the lesson. Now there are many good things to say secondly about Solomon, but you have to conclude when you read his life that actually there were lessons that Solomon forgot. He started so well. What an encounter he had with the Lord. What a request he made. What wisdom he displays. He showed his love for the Lord by walking according to his statutes. But did you note, except he offered sacrifices on the high places. And I think it's absolutely incredible, and again, the mercy and grace of God, that while such sacrifices were being offered, the Lord revealed himself to Solomon to offer him whatever he wanted. While practicing idolatry, the Lord appeared to him. And he asked for wisdom, and God abundantly blessed him. There was no one on earth as wise as Solomon. Yet we have in the Bible other passages in Scripture to do with Solomon, about his frustration with knowledge and understanding. He wrote so much. He spoke on every subject you can imagine. He looked into things deeply. But there were times, and Ecclesiastes is where it's all put together, frustration that he felt. Meaningless, meaningless. What is it all about? All this learning, all this understanding, for what? Everything under the sun. He could understand and see everything under the sun, but couldn't make sense of it. But the one who came from above the sun, the Lord Jesus Christ, stepped into our world and has helped and given us sense in all these things. And switching from Solomon back to Peter, Peter would say of the Lord Jesus Christ, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Solomon could not comprehend how the crooked could be made straight. It is the way it is. You hear people say that in the streets. It's just the way it is. It's just the way of the world, just the way life is. It can't change, can it? We have a Savior. We have a Lord who changes lives, who makes the crooked straight. Peter knew that himself. He was changed by meeting Jesus. You know that, don't you? You know the Lord changes lives. Now, as I say, Solomon's end was a sad ending. The kingdom ultimately would be torn in two. One of his last actions was a faltering attempt to kill one of his enemies, Jeroboam. And it says that in the end, his heart was divided. He became influenced by the gods of his many wives, and his heart was turned after other gods. Such a great start, but he forgot the lessons he'd learned. And in his frustration, came to that sad conclusion, with all the wisdom, folly. For what he knew, he didn't live. And so there's Peter, and there's Solomon. And here are we, you and I, here this morning. What do we know? And are we living what we know? Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. But what difference does that make? Well, I hope it's making a lot of difference. Hope you're knowing the comfort of the Lord, the comfort of his love in your daily lives. We know that he can do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine. We know it, but are we living it out? Are we asking him to do more in our lives, in our community, in our world? To know and to live. In our Church at Home notes, it talks about wisdom and patience. And we're all a little impatient, aren't we, in the times we're living. We don't want to be living like this. We want to be how it was before, with the freedoms that we had. And because nobody knows when and how, we're caught in this together. When you do know what's ahead, you can be patient and you can wait. Now, as I say, in the local sense of what's happening, nobody knows. The Lord alone knows the timetable of all of this. But having said that, step back and look at the big picture of what your Bible tells you about what is ahead, what God has said, what God has promised. And we can be patient, we can wait, and indeed must be waiting, looking forward to the day when the Lord Jesus returns in his glory. Let me just remind you just of a couple of things in the few minutes that we have together on this. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, we're told that Jesus is coming to rescue us from the coming wrath. Jesus is coming to rescue us from the coming wrath. That tells me how it will be when Jesus returns. It tells me, yes, of the world and its problems and the sin that is so prevalent. It tells me that a judgment is coming into our world. Many of you, if not all of you in this room, will have watched a documentary recently talking about extinction on the planet. Big thing. Everybody's watching this. What's going to happen? You know, the greatest problem of all is not palm oil being produced in this world of ours. It's the moral decline in the hearts of men and women, boys and girls. It is the greed. It is the, it's that self-centeredness in our world that's causing all these other problems. It's a problem of the heart. We have the answer to that in Christ. He makes the crooked straight. He makes new. He gives a new heart, a generous spirit, a love for one another rather than a selfishness. Christ is the answer. Yet we know that in these days there is much depravity on display. There is much rebellion against God. So we shouldn't be surprised at that. This is the big picture I'm painting for you now. Jesus is coming, though, to rescue from the coming wrath. So we have hope. We have a future. We have a way forward. And it is through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And when Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, he was pleased that they had turned from evil and encouraged them to go on the path that they were on, sharing the good news in partnership with the gospel to those of their community. And that's what we are about together. Yes, the wrath of God is coming, but the glory of God, the Son of God, is coming to rescue. We have Jesus' words of promise as we wait. Titus refers to this and calls it the blessed hope. And it is sad, isn't it, when we look around, and this is not, you know, this is not me pointing the finger, or there's no pride in this statement, there's a sadness in my heart to say it, but when we look around, there is a hopelessness in our world, because Christ alone is our hope. And people have rejected that hope in the main. The idols that people have turned to are toppling over, just as we've been reading in our readings in Isaiah. There is good news, though, of eternal hope to spread to the ends of the earth. And we've been involved in that together, and we need to continue to keep that air focus in all that we do. Because the Bible tells us that we shall be changed. All shall be made new. In Romans chapter 8, we know. The whole creation is groaning, says Paul. We know that. And we wait for our redemption patiently. God is not in the business of make, do and mend, patching up, making the best of. He's making new. A new creation, a new heart, a new spirit, a new life, and ultimately a new, complete creation when the Lord Jesus returns. These are the things that we are waiting for. These are the things we are looking forward to. I mentioned in the church at home notes, sitting in traffic, we've all done it. And when you don't know what's ahead, you think, is this a 5-minute thing? Is this an hour? Am I going to be here forever? You're sat in traffic, you can't. But if you know what's ahead, if you've tuned in your radio or you've got your sat nav or you've got your phone and it tells you what's happened, then you can prepare for the time that you've got. Well, brothers and sisters in Christ, we have God's word that tells us what is ahead, and we can prepare. We wait upon the Lord, wait patiently for him. A man's wisdom gives him patience. The Bible tells me that Christ is our wisdom, our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. When I look to him, as you look to him, he gives you understanding, understanding of life. What is important? Look at Jesus. Listen to his words. The truth about God is there for us. The truth about man and sin and their need is there on the lips of our Saviour. And he shows us how to live in relationship with him. The Apostle Paul writes to the Ephesians and says, "Be very careful how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, for the days are evil." Can I encourage you, exhort you with all that I am and have? Look to Jesus to be your wisdom. Seek him in everything that you do. Before you do anything, consult him. Do it his way. Be careful. Things can easily get twisted in this evil age in which we're in. Let us be careful in how we live. The verses around that verse go on to talk about being filled with his Spirit, so that we might understand what the Lord's will is. It talks about making the most of opportunities. And while it seems all our opportunities are closing down, there will be opportunities in different ways for us to speak of Christ as our wisdom, the one we look to in everything that we decide to do. Live lives of thanksgiving and praise, it says. Lives of submission. Submit to God. Praise God. Live for his glory. In Christ, because of him, we can be patient. We don't have to run around like headless chickens like the rest of the world, you know, because we know we can be still and know that he is God. We can know that peace, that calmness, and that direction that he alone gives. And we can know that the day is coming when every knee shall bow before him, where he will judge the living and the dead. So let us help where we can. Let us be merciful to those who offend us, grieve us in any way. Let us not let that hinder our service of the Lord. Let us live because of what we know and because of who we know. Bow your heads and pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the good examples we read in it and the sad examples we find as well. They do reveal to us how we can falter and stumble, but also by your grace, how we can prosper and succeed. Help us even this very week to be wise in the way that we walk with you and how we live our lives. Help us to make most of the opportunities that come our way. And again, Lord, we just thank you. Thank you for the big picture that your word gives to us. Thank you that we have hope and indeed that longing for eternal life. We know, Lord, that you are coming again, and we long for that, to see all that will be changed and transformed when you come to us and for us. So just seal these thoughts in our minds. Help us to think them through, even this coming week. Continue to feed us and bless us with your presence and your peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're going to sing a song in closing before a benediction. And we're going to sing of the Holy Spirit's work in aiding us with that wisdom, Spirit of holiness, wisdom, and faithfulness.
Spirit of holiness, wisdom, and faithfulness, wind of the Lord blowing strongly and free. serving and joy of our worshipping. Spirit of God, bring your fullness to me. You came to interpret and teach us effectively all that the Saviour has spoken and done. To glorify Jesus is all your activity, promise and gift of the Father and Son. Spirit of holiness, wisdom and faithfulness, wind of the Lord blowing strongly and free. Strength for our serving and joy of our worshipping. Spirit of God, bring your fullness to me. You came with your gifts to supply all our poverty, pouring your love on the church in her need. You came with your fruit for our growth to maturity, richly refreshing the souls that you feed. Spirit of holiness, wisdom and faithfulness, wind of the Lord blowing strongly and free. Strength for our serving and joy of our worshipping. Spirit of God, bring your fullness to me.
Can I tell you how that
hymn came to be written? There are Christopher Wren buildings, churches, two particularly. One is St. Paul's, the other is at Poplar. And Chris Idle, who wrote this, was the minister at Poplar. And for something like 12 years, I conducted a lunchtime service every week of term time, because I taught at the college that was the other side of the park. We had young men who, with their jobs, would be going to all of the world. And I find it incredible, you know, that Chris wrote this, and it was in Mission Praise, and it became exactly what it says. And I look back to those 12 years of those lunchtime meetings. Wind of the Lord, blowing strongly and free. And young men would sing this too. Spirit of the Lord, bring your fullness to me. We had 25 minutes in a lunch hour. And we're singing it again this morning. May you be blessed by it.
Well, let us conclude with a prayer of benediction and thanksgiving to the Lord for our time together this morning. Our loving Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for its relevance for every generation, for every day of our lives. How we need that the fullness of your Spirit in our daily living. Lord, to take what we know and to help us to put it into practice, to live it out, is what we ask for. Thank you, Lord, for the blessings that we have known as we've done that in the past. Keep us moving onwards and upwards with you, going forwards. Help us not to become impatient, but Lord, to keep looking to you. Lord Jesus, you are all wisdom, our wisdom. And Lord, we don't want to do anything without you. So grant us your parting blessing now. Fill each one with your Holy Spirit, that we might serve you, may know your love, know your power, and your peace. In Jesus' name, amen.